This is the Pittsburgh section, National Council of Jewish Women Oral History Project 2. I'm Shirley Stolzer, along with Ms. Mermelstein, who is assisting today. And we're interviewing Dr. Harry Margolis on this Thursday afternoon, April 18, 1991. Dr. Margolis, would you please state your name and address to us?
I am Harry Margolis, living at 146 North Belfield Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213.
Dr. Margolis, I wonder if we could start by your telling us a little about yourself in terms of your family of origin, where you came from, your family there, and so forth.
Yes. We came from Russia, specifically Kishinev, which has been known as the most infamous creator of the worst pogrom in Russia. That pogrom occurred when I was several years old. We lived a quiet life. My father was in business, but had a rheumatic heart problem from which he died when I was 6 years old. So his death, we feel, was accelerated by the fact that he had the strain of climbing ladders and so on during the pogrom when we tried to get some help. We had a close, very close family. I have one sister who was 2 years younger and one brother who was 4 years younger. My father had been in the grain business and wine business along with his brother, which of course all stopped when he died. When he died, we moved in with our grandparents and two aunts, which were in a different part of the city. They lived in the part just beyond the main city area at the approach to the countryside. Mm-hmm. Their business was a rather large grocery and supply store, which they sold to the peasants as they came into the city by the store. As a matter of fact, one street where this was located consisted largely of businesses run by Jewish people who couldn't run these in the city proper. At any rate, we established ourselves there, and my mother, who was very resourceful and had never been in business but had known of my father's business, established a grain store. It really was a large warehouse, as I remember it. And very slowly, these farmers, peasants, as they came in, got to know about it and would buy there. And she made a rather nice living. I had one maternal aunt who was a school teacher and was for a while living in Minsk, where she taught, but came back after she finished a year, and she played an important part in our lives, and particularly in mine. She arranged, for example, at my age of five, to enter a very fine school. It was a school that had only three grades, run by It was a parochial school run by the Catholic sisters. And it was one of the most beautiful things I can imagine. And very conducive to study. And I loved it and did very well. As we moved in here, Esther found my report card. It was nice with A's, which I used to enjoy and so on. Later, after the third grade, I was transferred to a school which was Jewish, but not the public school of the city. And I continued there until I was 13, when I considered, of course, entering the gymnasium. My aunt was back. She arranged all of the examination periods. She heard that I had passed the examinations, but another Jewish boy, whose father was a top tobacconist and a very rich man, and had some special credits in the area, had to be admitted as the one Jewish boy. Anyway, I was excluded, we immediately got to work to see what should be done. My mother had, it must be four brothers in the States, in this country. One lived in Pittsburgh, one in New York, one in Chicago, and one in was still in Russia, married. The Pittsburgh uncle was unmarried, and at that time, in the 50s, I would imagine, and they all worked out an arrangement that we come to Pittsburgh.
It was because of your education.
Yes, really entirely, mm-hmm. primarily for that, because my mother, we were getting along otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we arranged to leave. And we happened to leave with the with an aunt who was the wife of the uncle in Russia. She had two children. We were three, a brother, sister, mother, and myself, four, really. And it was interesting that they arranged for a tourist second class on the boat. So we were not really directly exposed to the trials that so many Jewish people had suffered, but we saw that. But we had nice arrangement and really enjoyed that trip here. When we got here, we were transferred to Ellis Island, not with the whole group. Somehow they forgot about us, and when they recalled that we were missing, we traveled on a little tiny boat.
Mm-hmm. A ferry or something.
Really, it's like a ferry boat. At Ellis Island, we saw the usual arrangements, and I found it very interesting. Being curious, I investigated the whole situation, and it was a very interesting experience in many ways, which would take too long to relate. From there, we were transferred eventually, with the help of the uncle who lived in New York, to go to Pittsburgh. And traveling on the train to Pittsburgh at night, so we get into Pittsburgh in the morning. I was very, very interested to see the countryside and couldn't fall asleep, and practically all night looked out of the window. Looking out, I saw many large signs advertising tobacco and other things, and I wondered where my uncle's sign would be. And I looked for Reliance Light Company, but didn't find it anywhere. The reason was simply that his great business was in the basement of his house. And it was not the most successful, but it was passively useful. We got to Pittsburgh, were established in a house on the hill, and it was interesting, except that it was very trying when I went out and I saw a bunch of children talking and playing, and I couldn't understand a word of what they were saying, and wondered if I ever would. Mm-hmm. But I did learn, and part of my teaching was in the theater. I found that by going to the theater, the Alvin and the Nixon, on two successive nights, Fridays and Saturdays, of course with 50 cents up in the top balcony, I could watch the play and try to understand and try to hear how these words were announced, and I think learned some new words, and particularly learned enunciation. We, of course, had to help maintain ourselves, we did do it, not in the most glorious way. My mother established a little business which consisted of selling things to people who got to know about her, running an ambulatory supply store, clothing, and so on. And of course, as soon as we could, we went out to sell newspapers, and I managed that pretty well by going out in the mornings to deliver the morning paper, and at night, particularly Saturday night when the Sunday papers were available. We, in essence, to maintain ourselves, we had to choose whatever we could that was logical for the time. Mm-hmm. We worked later on when we got a little older, Saturdays at department stores, selling or just straightening up some of the merchandise. Mm-hmm. And of course, we went to school. It was sort of odd joining a group of immigrants, because I was in a class of immigrants, which was provided by the Department of Education. Joining this group of immigrants, some of whom were 35, 40 years old, and singing and dancing Ring Around the Rosie. I knew it was odd, but it was informative. But beside that, I learned a good deal, and I was delighted with the education we got, and maintained a real progress toward what I wanted, which was to be a physician. That interest came, I think, partly from the childish observation of the management of my father during his illness in the couple of years that I saw that. And going to the physician's offices a couple of times with him and my mother. And it appeared to me like that's a profession that suited my temperament. And so we managed to get through college, and fortunately to be accepted at the medical school. At the medical school, I did fairly well, or quite well, really. finished my internship. And having heard a great deal about the Mayo Clinic, I literally worshipped it and was determined to try to get in. I applied there. Fortunately, I had some good recommendations from my professors at the medical school and from members of the staff of the hospital where I interned, and was asked to come out for an interview, which really amounted to making rounds with several people, during which time they would sort of poke a question about the situation in various areas of medicine. And I was amazed and delighted when about a week later I received a telegram that I was accepted as a fellow in medicine and that I should report April 1st, so on.
That was a residency or internship?
Pardon me?
Internship?
It was a residency. It's amounted to a residency where you spent 3 months on each of a number of services in a rotating manner. When I reported to the foundation office when I got there for the assignment, they asked me if I knew Dr. Hinch, because he was a Pittsburgher. I said, no, I did not know him. Well, they told me Dr. Hinch was recently made the head of a rheumatology department, which Dr. Mayo approved when Dr. Hinch asked him about it. And they said I was assigned to Dr. Hinch's service to begin, because they thought I would be very interested. Mm-hmm. I stood there absolutely amazed that I would be assigned to the one service that I was least interested in. All I could remember was the arthritis, so-called arthritis management of patients in the Pittsburgh clinic when I was a student. And all that consisted of was a parade of people incapacitated with braces, funny looking shoes, and not much of interest. I stood there literally rigid with disappointment and rage. But I felt I would give up 3 months in order to have the rest of the service, because I was so lucky. I was the first Jewish fellow to be accepted for fellowship. I should say that there was one fellow in surgery who proved to be a very outstanding man, and in fact turned out to be later on the first assistant of Dr. Will Mayo. At any rate, I was in rheumatology with Dr. Hinch, whom I found to be a brilliant teacher and a wonderful man. We would make rounds with visitors from all over the world who came not for the rheumatology rounds particularly, but for the Mayo Clinic round. And it was very interesting and promising. So that at the end of the first 3 months, I decided I wanted to stay on and went over to Dr. Hinch to ask him if I could. He nearly jumped on me to kiss me about that, because he wasn't able to get fellows who had been there any time, because no one really wanted to get into rheumatology. But it proved to be a wonderful experience, both personally and medically And I did some research, which nowadays analyzed would be regarded as very primitive, but very meaningful to me, and even to the Dr. Hinch. At the end of 3.5 years, I stayed a little bit longer with my three, having covered a number of services, including neurology and pathology and various phases of internal medicine, I was ready to leave. Only recently, Esther and I have been saying that that would have been a great opportunity for me to go to Texas or to somewhere else, as so many other fellows did. But I was pretty much tied to my family. I had classmates here who I thought would support me when I first came by referrals of patients, and came to Pittsburgh and feel really to this day it was a right choice for me. At the Mayo Clinic, I achieved one of the greatest finds, having met Esther by on occasion. She was visiting her mother, who had been operated, and I was called one morning by a new social worker who had just come, whom I never had met. She asked me over the phone if I could read Hebrew. And I said, no, I couldn't read Hebrew, but I'll see what she has. She had a postcard, which she wanted to have translated. Mm-hmm. And I went down, found this was Yiddish, which I was able to read. I was able to manage the script as well as the translation. And because I had, of course, had that in Russia in my first 14 years. So while doing this great deed, I also saw Esther. And having seen her, I decided that this must not be the end of the story. We managed, not very long afterward, to arrange going out for dinner. And after that, we had dinner and Coca-Colas and ice cream cones frequently. But I couldn't think of marriage. We didn't have any money and didn't know when I would have some. So we corresponded. Esther, having lived in Iowa and Chicago, we corresponded and met from time to time until we were married several years later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll stop here and sure. We'll turn over and then we'll... Do you feel it?
But when I just stand out of the...